Hello and welcome back to the 20-Sided Podcast. My name is Brian Flaherty, and as ever, I'm your Dungeon Master, and I'm joined once again by our three fabulous players. Say, howdy, everybody.
Howdy.
Velvet smoothie.
Velvet smoothie, the perfect vocal exercise.
Velvet smoothie.
As always, we have Chinook Tessera.
Cool, cool, cool.
We have Noah Gebstad.
Cool, cool, cool.
And we have Abby Hepworth.
Cool, cool, cool. All
right, everybody on the count of three. One, two, three. Cuckoo,
cuckoo,
cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo, baby. How you guys feeling? How was your week?
Terrible.
Good.
Well, I'll be in the middle. Mine was good.
Okay.
We've got the whole spectrum there.
Got the whole spectrum right. Represented here.
Yeah. So I'm ready for this to be the highlight of my week.
So
it's been... Here it's Bram. It's the longest start of the year ever. I'm like,
I know.
It's been a whole ass year in this January. God bless it. Oh no, third year of pandemic rules. No notes.
But they really like found their stride in the third season. You know what I mean?
Yeah third season.
I just saw something on Twitter that was like a TV writer or something complaining about the fact that no current TV shows or movies are like actually showing like life right now. And being like, oh my God, this is horrible and whatever. And literally all of the comments are like, bitch, we don't want to watch shows about the pandemic. We're living in it. Like, we don't want that. And I was like, God, the last thing I want is to sit and watch someone who's experiencing the exact same stress and turmoil as me. I want to watch Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah, that's more relatable. Is this going in the podcast?
Yeah, it's going in. I'll go in.
We've actually just become a TV review podcast. We've pivoted. We're not playing D&D anymore.
But on that note, y'all ready to play some D&D?
Woo!
Hell yeah.
I guess.
Last time on Prisoners of the Static. After getting separated by the arcane doors near the Arcanist's Oubliette, you reunited at Reggie, the Heartbeat Grape Tree, and made your way back to the Gilded Ghost. Yaksha was introduced to Don Taraxa, and you all gathered in Natasha's cabin to regroup and share what you learned. After studying the blueprints, you discovered that the pocket watch labeled number 2 seemed to have been designed as a device to cast Counterspell, and did not seem designed to grow out of a person in any way. That seems something that was not in the initial designs. The blueprint for number 3 showed the designs for the carousel, with a special note taken for a mechanical arm that stretched out into the rotating aspect of the ride that seemed designed to dispense some kind of small objects to the riders. The blueprint to number 1, however, was a level of complexity beyond all of you, but you could tell that it required a great deal of power to operate. Mirren's journals also contained some even more valuable information. Yaksha learned that the containment spheres used to imprison the Titans, as well as his mother, operate by taking in the nearest soul, and once a soul has been filled, it cannot be evacuated without being replaced with another. Natasha studied the notebook that seemed to disturb Boris, which contained theories and observations about the static itself, as well as the nature of the weave. It described the slow process of indoctrination into the static that began with nightmares and ended with a complete loss of identity and loss to the village itself. It went on to say that once something entered this state, it became enmeshed with the static and could only be removed with disastrous results. As the daylight waned, Boris seemed to be afraid to go to sleep, terrified of being plagued by more nightmares. Natasha comforted him with a childhood blanket and helped him pass the night in relative peace. And on the other side of the boat, in his hidden childhood bedroom, Yaksha felt the tendrils of dread slip into his mind and threaten to consume his sleeping hours. Luckily, he was able to steal his mind from the onslaught of nightmares and slept with relative peace.
Yeah, and fuck while- that.
And while everyone aboard the Gilded Ghost was able to sleep, more or less without incident, they awoke to the sound of a tranquil morning being shattered by a massive explosion. Can everyone go ahead and roll me a perception check as you hear this massive explosion that like partially shakes the boat.
A 13.
22.
A dirty 20.
Yaksha and Natasha, both of you spin around and you see, or really all three of you spin around and see a black cloud of smoke rising from the center of the forest. Natasha and Yaksha, you guys, knowing your positioning well enough, you know that this is coming somewhere from within the village. And I'll say, Yaksha, you got a 23?
Yeah.
You, with a 23, know that based on where you're pretty sure things are, you're pretty sure that that's coming from the bottling factory.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Where was the bottling factory in relation to, like, the bar?
It's on, like, the other side of the village from the bar. It's kind of near the, near-ish the carousel and the town hall.
So this is unlikely to be the work of the carrots.
Who's to say? you don't know what kind of splinter groups they have.
That's true.
Splinter carrots.
Just they don't have legs, so it's hard for them to travel unless they're on the back of a hawk.
Could be the asparagus that I grew underground.
Mm-hmm. Spread like wildfire.
Are we all above deck?
I'll say, Yaksha, you were in your room, but like kind of like pull the window aside. You could see the smoke rising. You guys run up on deck. Boris, Gilly, Zelda all run up. Boris looks at Natasha, goes, I mean, what was that?
It was explosion, Boris. What do you mean, what is that?
I know it was an explosion, but what? Why was it an explosion? What'd you guys do?
Was that us? We were here all night.
Explosion!
Boris, we are going to figure it out. Go make some breakfast.
I'll make breakfast. I'll make you breakfast.
Natasha's also a little bit glad to see that Boris is kind of doing his normal panic, get mad at Natasha when she doesn't necessarily give weight to his panic and doesn't seem to be like exhausted or terrified or haunted in the way that he was before.
I'm going to roll an insight check as you see Boris descend down into the deck.
That's a nat one. Plus two. If that matters.
You know, Boris seems like Boris.
Yeah, Natasha's very pleased.
Boris seems like Boris.
She's like, he seemed to get good night's sleep. Those bags under his eyes are still there, but, you know, this one night is not going to fix this.
Gilly comes over and he goes, boss, what are we doing here? This is the first explosion we've been seeing. So, I mean, like, what's the vibe here? What's the plan?
I do think we need to go back to village to maybe try to sneak and skirt around the sides to see what this explosion is. This planned explosion, is there war? And there are other errands that we probably want to do within village. But explosion, you're right, Gilly, is probably, you know, top priority.
Think that's coming from the bottling factory? Also, I got some bad news. Pretty sure I almost had a nightmare last night.
Like a nightmare of explosion or a nightmare like how he described?
You know, like the nightmares we read about in that book, how it steals your memories as the time goes on. And I'm feeling pretty blue, guys. I don't quite like that I had a nightmare. Not that I want anybody else to have them, but this kind of sucks.
And you guys remember in number two's, or sorry, in Mirren's notebook, they described like this indoctrination started with nightmares. In number 22's notebook, you remember that in his last entry, he described beginning to have nightmares.
Which would have been like one or two days ago.
Yeah, it would have been very, because you guys stole his notebook.
Right.
Yes, day before yesterday.
Yeah, we got to find him too. There's a bunch of stuff I feel like we got to do back in the village. So like eating and re-gearing up and then... Is the factory on like the outskirts or like the border of the village, or is it like kind of in the center? I'm wondering if we actually have to enter the village in order to try to.
Yeah, it's one of like the more central buildings.
Okay, so we will have to actually go back in.
Yeah.
But we could maybe use one of the secret doors that Don Taraxa showed us.
I can certainly help you get whatever you like. You just tell me where you want to go and I'll do my best to escort you there. I am quite familiar with the village, but I don't have direct access to the bottling factory through Miren's doors.
There's probably going to be a big commotion out there. Is it maybe we use the explosion at the factory as a distraction and explore something else while that hubbub is taken care of?
Where does Carousel Door actually come out? Like on Carousel or next to Carousel?
No, the Carousel entrance actually appears in the fountain near the town hall.
Mm-hmm.
It is enmeshed in the fountain itself. There is a large, you know, statue sprinkler thing. And within that, there is a doorway. It opens up and it is right across the green from the carousel.
But we would have to get wet.
I would get a bit wet, yes.
How deep is this fountain?
I mean, it's a fountain. 1-2 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Can you swim, Natasha?
Of course. I am captain of boat. Of course I can swim. This is a stupid question.
Yaksha, can you roll an insight check?
That is a 26.
Natasha, you can roll a deception check if you want.
I have a -2. And so that is a 13.
What does Yaksha see when he asks Natasha this question?
You really doubt that Natasha knows how to swim and furthermore can see she's wildly uncomfortable about the idea of even being in 1 to 2 feet of water.
He actually leans over to Sian. He's like, dude, the cat can't swim.
We'll teach her. No, it's easy to learn.
Yeah, well, you can turn into a squid, I bet.
Wait, y'all can't do that? That's a me thing?
This is the first time that Sieni has ever realized that everyone else can't turn into animals at will.
I thought y'all were being modest. All right. Good to know. Noted.
We will take a different door to get into village. Maybe we go to town hall. I feel like going to the bar is maybe not, but this is where we were last seen ordering breakfast gazpacho.
Should we go try and talk to 22?
I'm sorry, do you say a breakfast gazpacho?
Unfortunately, yes.
I love a breakfast gazpacho.
Oh my god.
It is such an underrated soup for the breakfast.
But would you eat one if you had a cold?
Hey, when will I not eat one? It's breakfast gazpacho. It's comfort food.
You're a monster. You're an absolute monster.
You, my friend, are maybe uncultured, is maybe what it is. Breakfast gazpacho is the meal of kings.
This is, we eat what Boris makes, which is actual breakfast. It's not gazpacho breakfast. And then we go into town and investigate this explosion.
I swear to God, if Boris made a breakfast gazpacho, he'd be so mad.
Can we like roll to see if he made a breakfast? No, he wasn't there for that. Or no, was he? Yeah, he was there for that.
He was there for breakfast gazpacho. Yaksha, go ahead and roll a perception check to see what you smell.
That's a 6.
Who knows? You're definitely smelling some. You're definitely smelling some tomato. That could be a gazpacho, or that could be, a breakfast burrito. That could be some kind of
Boris
omelet.
Boris has made breakfast gazpacho. He is not coming with us on adventure. He'll be on permanent boat duty.
All right, so we go get breakfast and then continue deciding on what our next destination is.
Yeah, I think we need to, move decently quickly. We want to get over to that explosion. So we'll. But Boris has worked hard on meal. We go eat meal first. Or take to go containers. We do to go meal. To go gazpacho.
To go bag.
You guys go downstairs.
It's a little sippy cup.
You guys go downstairs. You found Boris has not prepared you breakfast gazpacho, but you see that he is tinkering with some recipes in the corner that are clearly gazpacho based. But he has some very nice Western omelets for you guys. All of you gain nine temporary hit points.
Boris.
Nice job, Boris. Amazing. I love Boris.
Oh, Boris is good guy. Yes.
Natasha, as you're like quickly wolfing down food, getting ready to head into the village, Zelda comes over to you. Captain.
Duh.
What is our plan here? I know we came in here to like help these guys find this Mirren guy, to find these orbs or whatever. Now there's an explosion. I mean, the whole thing is kind of topsy-turvy. What are we doing here?
Zelda, we came here to find things, and we have found some of it. But also, I am not fully convinced that we will be going home. At least, I don't think this is the kind of mission where we retrieve a thing and then we go back to where we were and we get paid and we go on to next thing. And I think having found some of these things, that this is becoming more clear. Right now, there is an important person who is trapped in a prison. And there is an evil robot. And
a rabbit?
Robot? I am saying this right, yes? It's robot?
It's in the R's. Robot. Robot.
I can't Robert. So right now our goal is to save this person, and probably in doing this is to eliminate this threat. After that, Zelda, unfortunately, I do not know.
Go ahead and roll me a persuasion check. This is going to be, I mean, you're really only having this conversation with Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
She is a loyal first mate.
Mm-hmm.
This is essentially a morale check.
Can I roll with advantage because we have such a successful and trusting and loving history?
I'll tell you what, it's going to be, we'll do it this way. It's going to be a DC 15.
Okay.
You can roll twice.
Okay.
If you succeed one, fail one, that's fine.
Uh-huh.
If you succeed two, that's great. If you fail both, it will be significantly worse than if you rolled straight.
All right, cool. And we can't just decide after my first roll?
Nope.
Cool.
So before you roll, which one are you doing?
Ah, the only thing is I have a minus two to persuasion.
If there is a different skill you want to use.
Well, this is the thing that we had talked about, was because my charisma is minus two, but Natasha leads by intimidation. So I'm proficient in intimidation. But I think that especially the way I said all the things that I said, Natasha's not trying to intimidate Zelda. And so I think it really is just I don't think there's any other skill that she could be. I mean, performance is the exact same thing. So like, and survival doesn't really count here, does it?
Mm-mm.
No. All right. I'm
trying a stealth check.
Would this be stealth, Brent?
This would not be stealth.
Would it be strength? Am I shaking her while I say this?
I mean, you tell me.
No, I'm going to roll with advantage and we'll take the basically whatever the duo is. Okay.
Nat 20.
Well, we're off to a good start. That's a 7.
Oh boy.
Oh God. And a 14. Oh.
As you say this, go ahead and roll. You see a look on Zelda's face.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and roll an insight check. Mm-hmm. I'll say you can roll this with advantage.
Cool. The better one was, a 15. What do you know? That's when I get that.
You see Zelda's face when you mention you don't know if this is a job you come back from. You see her face harden a little bit and drop a little bit. This is a woman who's put her trust in you for some years now, who joined you on this voyage out of pure loyalty. You see her realizing that loyalty may have been misplaced.
I would like to argue otherwise, but I'm not gonna.
She gives you a small, she kind of like straightens up, gives you a small salute. Captain, you let me know what you need. And she walks off.
Yaksha leans over and goes, I think you fucked that one up, mate.
Natasha would like to throw a glance at Yaksha that is so devastatingly intimidating and mean that it scares him into silence.
Go ahead and roll an intimidation check.
Cool,
sure.
Cool. Do I get advantage on this too? We're just going to do advantage for everything?
No, this is regular.
That is a 15?
Yaksha, you tell me. You see a 15 withering look from Natasha. How does Yaksha feel?
Yes, withering stare. That's the word.
A withering stare. Yes. Yaksha goes, my bad. You call for me? Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. I'm going over there.
No, I didn't.
Boris, you need help in the kitchen?
You were right. The Western omelet is a good breakfast choice.
You're a sunflower. How are you eating that?
You know, the sunflower got to eat.
Feeding some to BB too.
Okay, we have breakfast now, everybody. You know, Natasha's kind of peeved now. Everybody get your things. We are going to village. And she wants to go over to... Are Boris, Zelda, and Gilly in like one kind of area, or are they kind of all over?
Zelda went topside. Mm-hmm. Gilly is sitting kind of with you guys. Dontrax kind of sitting with you guys, and Boris is working on his breakfast gazpacho.
God. In this case, Natasha says this, and then she goes up to the deck. Zelda.
Yes, Cam.
We are preparing to go back into village. Would you like to join us, or would you like to stay on ship?
As first mate, I think I should watch the ship.
That's your choice. Okay.
Who do you guys grab as you leave? Three of you, Don Taraxa comes on with you. Are you grabbing Gilly or Boris for anyone?
I think Natasha, having seen that Zelda's pissed, asks them.
Boris, did you want to come back to village, or are you working on this recipe? Better not be breakfast gazpacho.
It's breakfast. You guys said you wanted breakfast gazpacho.
Who said we wanted this?
When we were talking to 808.
I was stoned at this point, and I am telling you now, I do not want this.
You haven't tried my breakfast gazpacho.
Is it anything like breakfast borscht?
Very much like breakfast borscht.
Well, that actually sounds okay. Okay.
It's just, you know, cold.
Oh, no, cold? But you lost me.
Boris is still exhausted, right? He didn't.
Boris is still has one level of exhaustion. You see bags under his eyes. So he'll still have disadvantage on ability checks as something still seems to be kind of, though it didn't worsen in the night, something still seems to be kind of haunting him.
Let's leave Boris here and just take Gilly.
Yeah, I think Natasha also would be a little worried about Boris having seen all of this, but Gilly is so excited about her purple hands. I want to give her a chance to use them.
She lights up her purple hands.
Gilly, you prepare to go ashore. Boris, you stay here and work on breakfast gazpacho.
I can make a breakfast borscht as well.
Boris, you make what you want to make. I'm not going to tell you.
Hasn't stopped you before.
What was this, Boris?
Nothing. Have fun investigating the big explosion.
Yeah, so Gilly's coming, but Zelda and Boris are staying behind. And Dontrax is obviously coming too. And BB.
Ah, BB. Are you guys heading along the normal path? Are you guys like taking a way through the wilderness? How are you getting to the village?
Why don't we take the normal path, but maybe cast Pass Without a Trace, so we're doing it sneakily?
Oh, yeah.
I like to sneak.
You guys cast Pass Without a Trace, consult the proper maps to make sure you're going along the correct path, and you up the pathway. Can everyone go ahead and make a stealth check for me?
29.
Jesus.
22.
I also got a 22.
Okay. You guys make it up to the Iron Rot Gate of the village, And you see two things that you notice. One, obviously, is the black smoke that is indeed above the bottling factory. You see people are rushing about around the village, but a number of them, they don't seem to have necessarily concerned faces on. As you notice in the background, the stacks of balloons that you had seen getting set up for what appears to be like a carnival or a festival coming up. And a lot of people seem to have like party supplies for that that they're working with rather than, you know, running around like crazy because there was an explosion. The tone in the town, in the village, is less concerned than you might have initially thought.
Can I do like a perception or something check to see where the statues are looking?
Oh, yeah. Go and roll a perception check.
24.
The statues are trained on the bottling factory.
Okay.
Should we go find 22 while this is all happening?
Yeah.
Part of me wants to go explore the factory, but I don't actually want to split up. Yeah, do we know where 22's house is?
You do not. Last you saw him, he was heading off towards the topiary maze. But that was also like a day and a half ago in the middle of the day. Right. But that was the last you saw of him.
Do we see him around at all?
You can roll an investigation check as you like just walk through. Are you like exploring the town or are you just like at the entrance looking?
At the entrance, like just looking right now.
From the entrance, you don't see him. You'd have to kind of go in the village and look around. But if you want to like explore more and look around, you guys are fairly stealthy. Like I'll keep making you roll stealth checks, but with pass without a trace, it's, you know, pretty good.
Yeah, maybe let's go over to the residential area and take another peek.
Yeah, if we can go be some peeping Toms. Try to creep in the windows, maybe see if we see a lot of papers or...
Are you guys...
Or just number 22 himself.
Are you guys sticking together or are you...
Someplace where like the curtains are absolutely closed because he definitely would not leave them open.
Sure.
Probably sticking together so we can have pass without a trace on all of us.
So you guys start exploring the village. Everyone go and roll me an investigation check as you guys look around the entire village.
All right. A 7.
Oy.
6.
13.
We're acing it
tonight. Even with a 7 and 6 and 13, you guys do notice that many of the houses are numbered. Like they do have designations. So you see number 6, number 80, number 24. They generally do kind of spiral outwards, like kind of from the center. So the center is kind of the lower numbers. And as you go outwards, they get larger. So it takes you a while to make your way, kind of like figure out this pattern. But you do kind of make it towards the center of the city and find number 22's bungalow. You see the curtains are indeed drawn. With a 13 investigation, it's tough to tell if someone is there. All the curtains are drawn. There's not like any mail out front or anything. Yeah, that's kind of all you see.
Hmm.
And while you guys do that, can you go and roll me another stealth check?
22
Nat
again.
Nat 1.
No!
Wait.
Wait,
see any? Same.
No! What a Gilly roll. It has to be a Nat 20.
Gilly rolled a 5.
Jesus.
And Dontraxa rolled a 6.
Oh, God.
Oh, and BB. A BB rolled a 4.
He's a B. He doesn't need stealth. No one's going to be suspicious of him.
He a big B.
Oh, BB.
BB's giving us away.
You guys find number 22's house.
God.
Fuck. Oh. We've been spotted. Yaksha throws a rock through his window.
The window breaks, the curtains kind of flutter a little bit.
We should have attached a note to it first.
Oh, shit. Yaksha throws another rock with a note attached to it through the window.
Throw another rock. It hits the other side of the pane. A bunch of people who are running around are like, what the? Who did that? And then a bunch of eyes kind of land on y'all. You look at the house. No one runs out of the house. There doesn't seem to be any movement inside the house.
I don't think he's home.
But you look around and there's a bunch of people now looking at you. They seem to have like kind of a tough time seeing you. Like pass without a trace is like active camouflage. So you see them kind of like, it's a perfectly sunny day. And for some reason, there's like a weird shadow in the middle of the street. But you've absolutely been spotted. You see some of the statues turning towards you guys.
Before they turn, can I use disguise self to disguise myself as the other person that was playing dragon chess that I saw?
Not the woman, but the guy she was playing with?
The guy, yeah.
Yeah. You turn into this this human man. He's got like long hair, kind of like shoulder length, you know, beautiful like blonde locks that kind of like curl up at the end.
Oh la la.
Real Fabio look. That's what I'm going for. Okay. Real Fabio.
Ooh, dreamy.
And then I say, sorry guys, we're playing throw the rock and went through the house. I'll pay for that. Take it out of my tab, guys. This guy's tab.
Good roll a persuasion check, I guess.
Cool. That's a 17.
Most of the people around seem satisfied enough to not ask any more questions. They just kind of look at you. You see them squinting, like not still having a hard time seeing you a little bit. But it's basically like there's a weird shadow with a nat one. You and Sieni had just like stepped out of the shadow. Everyone just kind of gives you like weird looks. The statues are still fully trained on you guys.
Okay. This sucks.
I think.
Are you guys staying here or are you going somewhere?
Nope. I think we're
fucking
moving.
Where are you guys going?
Wasn't the actual, I know it's the last place we saw him headed towards, but it was also days ago, but also the topiary was a place where you had suggested that they could like potentially hide for the night because it had good coverage.
From what you saw of the topiary, it seemed like it wasn't covered by the statues, by like the statue cameras, mm-hmm. or at least like within, because there's like, it's a topiary maze. Yeah, so yeah. It's like a big, you know, labyrinth of these like fantastical topiaries.
I think we should go to topiary.
Yeah, all right, let's do it.
Yeah.
It's statues maybe not see us so much there. We can regroup.
Is there we're going?
Duh.
I don't like the way you said that.
You guys start heading towards the topiary. Can everyone do me a favor, roll a perception check as you move quickly towards the topiary?
No, I can't, Brian.
Yeah. No, Brian.
17.
Yeah, 17? 17.
18. A 9.
Natasha and Yaksha, you hear, as you guys are moving through these streets towards the topiary, you hear a pair of familiar voices arguing, like about to come around the corner towards you guys. You hear the gruff
Sven
voice of number 2 talking to number 10. I don't care how you do it. Just find them. We've got to fix this. I don't know why you didn't listen to me before. We should be changing our intake procedures. Don't talk to me about intake procedures. Just find them so we can fix this. You hear them heading, like, about to round a corner. What do you guys do?
Is there anywhere to hide? Is there, like, an alley?
There's a bunch of, like, houses around. You could duck into houses. You could duck down alleys. You could run back the way you came. Oh. I'm going to say with nat ones, your pass without a trace is pretty tenuous at this point.
Well, it seems we're fucked. I do look like someone else. I don't know. You guys should hide.
Yeah, I think Natasha grabs Gilly and dives into the nearest alleyway and then looks for something like to hide behind in there, but is diving into an alley.
Okay, I'll say go ahead and roll a stealth check.
And am I still adding the plus 10 or you've said it were off at this point?
I will let you use it because you still rolled well. I'm going to say Yaksha and Sieni cannot since they rolled a nat 1. So you jump in with Gilly. Don Taraxa is going to just turn into a sunflower essentially.
Can he like throw his weapon at me or something to hide it? Because now he's just a regular sunflower, but with a sword.
Oh, he plants the sword in the ground.
Oh, okay.
Sieni, what are you doing?
What am I doing, Brian?
Wait, I have an idea.
Sorry,
go ahead.
Oh, I could mold earth to be a little boulder and hide behind. Maybe.
What that if I just like cast a rope trick and we just hide in the dimension, me and you? Everybody.
Oh yeah, that's let's do that. Right, a little boulder is probably a bad idea. And, little boulder was probably bad.
Little boulder.
And that sounds little boulder bad.
I like little boulder better than mixologist spider.
I almost did another one. I was like, I can make a giant insect and just really really go for it.
Yeah.
Shoot for the fences.
I mean,
next is gonna be a brewmaster cockroach. So
we can.
Gregor Samsa.
You cast rope trick. You guys begin to scurry up this rope. However, I'm gonna need you guys to both make a DC 13 athletics, athletics or acrobatics. So pretty low, but this is to scurry up it quick enough to get up there before they see you.
What'd you say? DC what?
DC 13. You can do either athletics or acrobatics.
Grow up, Brian. 15.
Yaksha, what'd you get?
No, man.
I got a 12, but I'm also going to say I'm also disguised as someone else. So can I just not go up there and just let Skinny
have Can I give him the help action?
You absolutely cannot give him the help action. You're nowhere near him.
Can I? Damn it. I had a whole plan. It was that before she dives into the alley, Natasha is going to again throw a withering stare at you guys and say, hide. And she scares the bejesus out of him and gives him a swift kick in the ass to get where he needs to be, therefore providing the help action.
You know? No.
That's fair.
Sienna, you scurry up, you get up there. Yaksha, you start climbing, you slip down, you see number 10 coming around the corner, realize that, wait a minute, I look like a different guy. You grab the rope, toss it up into the portal of the rope trick, and just kind of land. They turn the corner and immediately see you. Go ahead and roll me a deception check to just not look suspicious.
16.
I'm going to roll an insight check for the both of them.
Oh, God.
God damn it.
Number 10 comes around the corner, looks at you, see you just go, hello. Number 2 comes around the corner, looks at you, sees you. You see his eyes kind of glaze over for a second, and then he double takes back. He looks at you, kind of squints his eyes, and then you see his eyes focus on something immediately behind you.
No.
You turn around and see the guy you are impersonating. This Fabio-looking motherfucker is walking right towards you. He's carrying like a big bowl of like gold-filled goldfish bowls for like, you know, goldfish game.
A Fabio, no!
Carrying them, and he looks and he goes, what? Drops a bunch of shattered goldfish. They shatter all over the ground. Number 2 looks at you. You see him raise up his hand with the pocket watch in it. You have one shot to do something before he clicks his pocket watch. What do you do?
I cast fear on number 2.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
It's a wisdom save.
That's a power move.
What's your save DC?
15.
15. Okay.
Nat one.
He wisdom is going to have a +5 to wisdom.
Fuck.
That doesn't seem right.
You're a jerk. You just made that up.
Is a natural 11 +5 is a 16.
Oh no.
Is fear a target or is fear an area of effect? Could you get number 10 as well, or is it just one target?
It is a cone, it looks like.
Okay, so you could get number 10 as well.
Should I?
I feel like it's no harm in chatting. Sure. She's already over there. You already
can the 16 be for number 10?
No. Number 10, however, does fail. She rolled a natural 10, +3. Number 10, all of a sudden, like, wave of something hits her. And you see her eyes all of a sudden go wide, her pupils dilate, and you see her shrink to this fear spell. I'm going to have to roll her fear dice.
Cool!
Whoa, they have fear dice.
She has a D6.
About time.
She rolled natural 6, so she's she did not lower her fear dice. You see her shrink down as all of a sudden she sees something terrifying in you. Number 2 kind of like steals himself back, kind of blocks his eyes, looks back at you. Click. A ripple goes out from his pocket watch. you see the entire village freeze. Number 10 freezes in place. Number 2, looking around, you see Fabio guy behind you freezes. You see all the goldfish that are flopping around freeze. You see the random people around you freeze. Natasha, you look at Yaksha as you see him get spotted. And Sienna, you're looking down on this through the portal. You see, as everyone freezes, Yaksha begins to emit a black hue, a dark glow coming off of him.
Oh, God.
Number 2 looks at Yaksha.
I knew it.
Clicks it again. Vroom, 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 vroom. Three of those green tracker orbs rise up from the ground. I need everyone to roll initiative.
No!
Oh my god.
A dog, a dirty 20.
Dirty 20? Oh, they rolled bad.
Finally, one good roll tonight.
18.
That's an 18.
Oh, cool. Look at us.
Nice.
You guys look as these three orbs vroom, 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 rise up out of the ground. Number 2 looks around and goes,
get him! We need him back! We gotta equalize this guy!
The orbs begin to fly towards Yaksha. Sienna, it is you first. You are up okay. in the extra dimensional space of the rope trick, but you can look down. You are currently unseen by anybody.
Could I... Number 2 mm-hmm. is using the clock, right? And watching Yaksha.
Yeah, number 2 seemed to, the pocket watch seemed to click stop the village and then seemed to call these trackers.
I'm going to cast blindness on them.
On number 2?
I feel like that will help level the playing field a little. I think, what do you guys, table talk a little bit? Do we like that idea?
Yeah.
I feel like that gives us some, at least some room to move.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can, if I'm not seen up here, I can just, every time it's my turn, just be kind of thorns in their sides, kind of.
Oh, that's true. Because if they like, can't just, like, figure casting, out where you are, then.
And I'm just casting just random spells at them. I like that of me kind of being like this archer of spells while you're hitting them from other sides.
I will say just mechanically, you can absolutely cast spells. So you can't cast spells from within the rope trick, but you can like duck out of the rope trick, blast a spell. And then come back. But you do have to like exit the rope trick at least briefly to cast the spell.
Like kind of
just like, dip kinda your head like Tarzan? Out of the
sky. Yeah, can I like just, can I pop out?
Oh yeah, you can literally can just it? Bop out, boom, bop back in. But you do have to come out of this for a moment.
Bop boom, in, bop out. Like I, oh my gosh, that's so funny. That's Bugs Bunny.
It is extremely I'm gonna like Acme portable hole.
I was gonna say it literally is the portable hole. Paints the tunnel on the on the canyon wall.
I'll bop out really quick.
Love like it.
Once I'm back, and then take away one of their senses.
That is a natural 11. So you all of a sudden see his eyes go snow blind as he is no longer able to see. He looks around and goes,
the fuck? Damn it. He's like rubbing his eyes. Just get him! Get him back! We gotta fix this!
Can I taunt him and go, get who? To be like one of his head, like throw my voice.
Get that guy filled with dread, damn it! We gotta get him fixed!
Alright, I'm getting the rye filled with bread. Feels redundant,
no!
But...
What? Who's talking?
Your best friend.
Sure, go ahead and roll a persuasion check.
If I screw this up because I'm doing a bit,
it's the best way 13. To go.
He looks and goes, or he like looks around and goes, what? You should be frozen. And I assume you're like ducking back in. So you're
here. Yeah, I'll duck back in just so nobody kind of catches me. Cause I mean, I'm still at risk of being seen. So I want to not goof off as much as possible.
Okay. You duck back in. Yaksha, you look around and see in a triangle, three of these orbs are moving towards you very quickly. It is your turn. What do you do?
How close are they to me?
They are each like 30 feet away. They like rose up out of the ground and are flying towards you very quickly.
I'm going to cast. Okay, I'm going to do this. Does Siani still have Barosh?
Yeah, Siani still has, still has Barosh
in my pocket.
And I'm pretty sure you have. No, you left the woman when you multiplied the thing.
I left the woman be, but I go, hey, Siani, I think I need Barosh for a second.
Just get him back in one piece. I can't keep saving this dumb carrot. And yeah, I go, Barosh, I'll see you in a moment. I go, I kiss him on the forehead, or what I perceive to be a talking carrot's forehead, and drop him.
Well, son, I'm indebted to you. I'm happy to do anything you. Oh, here I go.
Falls down.
I was like, Barosh, no. Barosh, I got it. I have that written down. I have that whole speech written down.
Yaksha, you catch him and he goes,
well, hello. I believe we should probably, you and I, chat, form a bond. I think that type of thing will probably help us in our coming battles. So why don't we just do a quick icebreaker?
I hold them like, I have no idea what you're saying.
You're just hearing.
That's right.
Wait, that whole time I'm translating again, throwing my voice. And he said he wants to do an icebreaker.
Oh my god,
we don't have time for that.
Hey, if you guys have time to do a mind meld,
I was thinking maybe do a mind meld.
I was thinking since I did a trust fall, maybe you should do a trust fall.
No, listen.
You should do a trust fall.
I am the god of the asparagus. I will not do this with you.
I'm not going to translate that. I can't tell him that.
And then I go, but I'm now the god of the carrots as well. And I plant Barosh in the ground and cast plant growth to make this difficult terrain for all the blobs.
Oh my god.
Hell yeah.
Barosh!
You see, Barosh looks up as you plant him in the ground. He goes,
back to where I started, I guess. Whoa, what's that? What's that feeling? I'm gonna become a father again.
A bunch of carrots start spreading around what was just a idyllic street. Brown, you know, from like dirt and grass is now orange and green.
And then I pull Barosh up and throw him back up to Siani.
You reach down and you feel him. He goes,
well, finally back with my people where we belong in the ground. Oh,
here I go again.
Well, it's good to see you again.
You know, even in one lifetime, you can live 1,000. Welcome back. And I just cramp before he can say anything. I just cramp.
Well, fatherhood happened. Oh. Surrounded by carrots. You see number two is kind of like tripping over the carrots as he's like blind, looking like trying to shake off his blindness. Hell yeah. You see these things are coming towards you, but they are like moving along the ground. As you see them, they start to hit some of the carrots and the carrots wither and hiss and sizzle in this like acidic or whatever body is within them. They're still moving, but they're moving slower.
And also just my bonus action, I'm going to cast Hunter's Mark on one of them.
You cast Hunter's Mark. Anything else you want to do? Are you going to stay put? Are you going to move anywhere?
Yeah, and I'm going to move as far away from them as I can.
Where are you headed? Are you heading like back down the street? Are you heading towards number two? Or are you heading like into an alley?
Where's Natasha?
Natasha's in an alley. Yeah.
With Gilly. And then
is there an outlet to that alley? Or is it just like you go in and then there's like a wall and the only way out is that way in?
This is kind of like the residential part of the village is kind of like a spiral going in and like houses on either side. So you know that there's almost definitely access points. Like you don't think this is a blind alley.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm going into Natasha's alley.
Okay, you go fly into this narrow alley. These orbs all begin to like change direction and start following you. They're going to have a tough time getting through this stuff, but they've got a lot of difficult terrain to get through.
I just look at Natasha and I'm like, please save me.
No. Oh. I have a very quick question. I have two attacks. Can I use them to attack two different individuals?
Yeah.
Okay. I am going to, first of all, I would like to rage.
You see her fur just...
So I do the rage. If I step just like 1 or 2 feet outside of the alley, how far am I from number two?
You'd be a good, like right outside the alley, be a good 20 feet.
Okay, then I'm gonna throw a javelin at him. And I want, oh, I don't have to tell you until after I hit, I guess. So I'm gonna throw a javelin at him.
Okay, and you can roll with advantage because he is blinded.
Nice.
All right, well, that first one is pretty damn good, and the second one's terrible. So, what is it? 19 plus 8, a 27?
Yeah, that hits.
Cool. And so with it, I am going to do a menacing attack. So when I hit with a weapon attack, I can expend one superiority die to add to the total damage roll, and the target must make a wisdom saving throw. On a failure, it is frightened of me.
Okay. Does it have to see you? I assume not.
It doesn't say anything about seeing me.
Okay. What's your wisdom save?
It says DC 16.
Okay. You rolled a natural 9 plus 6, 15, fails.
Yes. All right.
And you have your battle master feats because you are you took that feat.
Duh. So that's an 8 plus 2, so that's 10 points of damage.
Okay. Did you add your rage damage?
I did not add my rage damage, so that's plus another 3.
Okay.
So it's 13. Thank you for the reminder.
And then did you add your superiority die as well?
That was with the superiority die, yes. Okay. And I because he is now frightened of me, I just want to growl, run!
You growl.
Which I recognize he's blind, so it's, who knows what direction he'll run in or whatever. But.
So a frightened creature has disadvantage on ability checks and attack rolls while the source of its fear is within line of sight. He cannot see, but he also can't willingly move closer to the source of its fear. I'm going to say, as you say this, you growl, run. And he, it echoes in his head. And his head kind of like turns to you. And though he can't see you, he feels the echo of your voice. He has to roll his fear dice.
Yes! He's afraid of Natasha.
Natasha.
Rolled a natural 5. So he succeeds, but while he is under the frightened condition, he may have to do that again. Anything else you want to do, Natasha?
Yeah, that was just my first attack. I am going to use my second attack to go after one of the orbs. Am I within 30 feet of one?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to throw a javelin again. Will a 13 hit?
13 hits.
So it's 9 points of damage.
And that's
And I forgot to roll my wild magic.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead and roll your wild magic surge.
6. So Natasha goes into this rage as she does this, and she's feeling very protective. And so as she's thinking about this, all of these sort of multicolored lights start appearing all around her, like little pixies sort of dancing all around. And while I'm raging, I get a plus 1 bonus to my AC. And if you are an ally within 10 feet, you get the same thing. So,
hell yeah.
So I guess Gillian Yaksha would see Sienny within 10 feet?
Gillian Yaksha would get it. Sienny would not.
What about Don Terex?
No.
Don Terex right now. Sure, I'll say he gets it for the moment.
Cool.
And BB? And BB? And
BB, yes.
We need to up BB's AC as much as we can, guys.
BB's AC is...
Brian, BB gets it, right?
Does BB even have an AC?
BB has an AC. And I like guess two? Hit points.
Also,
no, don't say no. BB. Wait, no. If BB dies, I walk.
Natasha, anything else you want to do?
All right,
are you staying put or are you running with Yaksha?
No, I think with the rage as well, I'm just trying to take up as much of the entrance to the alley as possible.
Okay. It is number two's turn.
Dumb blind idiot.
Number two is blind. He is frightened of Natasha, who he knows where she is.
Using echolocation, he has determined where I am.
You look at number two. He looks down at the pocket watch, grips it, and then vanishes.
What?
At the end of his turn, he's going to re-roll to see if he can break the blindness spell. Okay. It is the three trackers' turn. They're going to take a full dash action towards Yaksha. They normally have 40 feet of movement. That's reduced down to 20. You're going to take a dash action, do the full 40. They're going to be able to get essentially right up to Natasha.
Cool.
As these things move forward, they essentially like form a line getting ready to head down this thing. They move through your space, and Natasha, you get hit by one of these orbs. I need you to roll a dexterity saving throw, DC 12. You're going to roll this three times as these three vroom, 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 fly through you.
This alley is big enough for all three of them?
They're going in a line.
All right. So you said dexterity. I get advantage on dexterity saving throws.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, what was the DC?
It's just 12.
12. And I roll, but I need to make three separate saves.
All three of these are essentially like flying through. And you get hit by this like gelatinous mass and are trying to like get out of the way before it engulfs you.
Okay. The first one saves like a 13.
Okay.
Second one, I got a 19. And a 17 for the last one.
Okay. You're able to jump out of the way of these things and kind of like squeeze yourself into a corner as they begin to fly past you. For our purposes, Gilly is far enough behind you that she's not going to get hit until the next turn. And Yaksha is kind of by Gilly. That is all they can do. It is Gilly's turn.
And they haven't left my... Like, do I get an opportunity attack as they go past me?
Ooh.
Have they left my threatened area?
Good.
Yeah, I'll say.
Question.
Yes.
Smash them.
Yeah, these things are a little weird because they can, like, move through spaces. So, I'm going to say, yes, the one in the front, you can get one of the two that pass you first, you can get an opportunity attack on. You can only do one opportunity attack, but you can.
Okay,
do
cool. Remind me, for an opportunity attack, am I like choosing like using my warhammer or whatever, or is this just like an unarmed strike?
No, you can use any weapon you want.
Oh, cool. I'm gonna. Can I double handed warhammer?
Yeah, totally.
This bish. Does an 18 hit?
Absolutely hits.
14 plus 3, 17 points of damage. Was that the same one that I...
Yeah, I'll say that's the same one.
Cool.
You do 17 points of damage on these things as they begin to file past you. Gilly is preparing to get out of the way. Gilly is going to pull out her hands, glow this psionic purple. She is going to make two attacks on the one right in front of her as she like grabs some knives and like chucks them.
She learned this from Boris, the throwing of the paring knives.
Wow, first one is a 6, which hits.
Nice.
Second one is a 16, which also hits.
I guess a gelatinous orb doesn't really have a high AC either, does it?
It does not.
Which has a higher AC, the gelatinous orb or BB?
Actually, I think BB.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, BB.
Our strong king.
Yes, our strong king.
Strong king.
She does 17 damage with the first one.
Yes, Gilly.
Ooh.
And 15 damage with the second one. This orb is looking pretty fucked up. The other two are untouched. For her bonus action, she's going to cast Misty Step. You all of a sudden see her and blink out and appear on the rooftops 20 feet above. And is like running along the rooftops next to Yaksha. She's screaming down, "Yaksha, get out of the way! Get out! These things are fast! Get out of there!"
Thanks, buddy. Do you have a rope or something I can climb up?
Yeah, I'll try to get something. She's like reaching in her pack, trying to like find a thing. That is Gilly's turn. It is Don Taraxa. You.
I've been waiting for this whole time.
I'm so excited.
You look, Don Taraxa. He had his rapier planted in the ground, pulls it out.
Number two, I am Don Taraxa Astarale Plante IV. I serve Mirren the Maker. Prepare to die.
She's going to roll a perception check to try to figure out where this guy is.
Oh my god.
20.
Rolled a natural 6, is not proficient in this. He is still going to make some attacks on where this person was.
Done. No, kill the blobs first, then we'll get number 2 afterwards.
No, he sees number 2.
He's got a vendetta.
You piece of shit.
I hate you. I hope my mom never bangs you.
I hope my mom never.
You would deny your mother such a pleasure.
John.
You're a piece of shit.
I will treat her like a woman.
Then kill the blobs and save a child, you moron.
Dontraxa is going to... he's essentially going to make an investigation check with his... rapier. He's just gonna kind of like swing around and try to hit this person. He knows where number 2 was, unsure if he moved. So I'm just gonna kind of roll a luck check for him.
20.
Rolled a 19.
Yeah!
He moves forward in this like perfect fencing stance. It's just kind of like whacking back and forth, not poking, like, you know, he's not trying to stab like a proper fence. He's just swinging wildly and trying to like hit, make connection with something. The side of his rapier finds purchase, whacks number 2 on the side of the head, and all of a sudden you hear number 2 go,
ah, fuck! Aha! Number 2, we meet. Prepare to die.
Lunges forward. However, that's his entire turn to find him. Cieni, top of the order, it is you.
Can I help Yaksha and cast at 4th level wall of fire and put that between him and these orbs?
Absolutely you can.
Yeah.
Actually, let me do that at 5th level even.
Damn.
Ooh,
damn.
Baby. Let me just make sure you can do all this. Range 120 feet. Cast a wall of fire on a solid surface within range. You make a wall up to 60 feet long, 20 feet high, 1 foot thick. The wall is opaque and lasts for the duration the wall appears. Hell yeah.
Sounds good to me, Brian.
It sounds good as hell.
Let's do it. Let me do it, Brian. Please let me do it. Please let me do it.
You poke your head out. You see these 3 orbs chasing Yaksha and are getting very close. They got through this difficult terrain that he created, and all of a sudden their slow speed doubled. They're flying towards him. Mm-hmm. You look, stretch out your hand. What does it look like as you make this wall of fire erupt in this alleyway?
I hold my hand out. And I just, as I'm potentially like going to be straining to get this wall of fire out, but even right before it looks like I'm about to like flex a little bit and try and like muster it, I like giggle and just snap, and the ground and the ground kind of shakes a little bit, and then this curtain of fire just rises from the ground, kind of inexplicably. Nothing really feels like it changes, but. As soon as that snap happens, this curtain of fire from left, right, and center kind of all engulfs in front of them.
This curtain of fire goes up straight. The one in front is going to make a dexterity saving throw first. Got a natural 13. Definitely fails. Yeah, has a negative 4 to dexterity. Definitely fails. go ahead and roll 6d8 fire damage.
Oh
30. My god.
30
points of damage.
30.
Oh my god.
30.
That's wild.
You 30, flirty, and die. Thriving.
This wall of fire erupts up. All of a sudden, what was a beautiful day is all of a sudden turned red as this wall goes up. Yaksha, you turn around and see a wall of fire behind you. Momentarily, you freak out and realize it's like the fire is essentially just facing away from you. On your side, it just feels kind of toasty and warm. On the other side, you hear the sound of one of these orbs getting engulfed and deflating. That first orb is completely incinerated. The other 2 are moving forward and like attempting to stop, essentially.
But they're not gonna do it.
They're not gonna hit the wall.
They're not dexterous.
They're dummies. Little baby dum-dum. I love grilling. Grilling is one of my hobbies.
So just so you know, these things begin to, they keep moving forward. They can pass through this thing, and it seems like they are going to. They're going to take a fuck ton of damage doing so. But these things are of a mind and are flying towards Yaksha. But you incinerated one of them, and the other two are about to take a fuck ton of damage.
I love you.
Love you too.
You bop your head.
And then,
back
oh and, wait, no, that's. I pop my head. I would say I love you, and then I also throw my voice again to number two to go. Okay, I got the rye bread.
What? Why are you talking? You just hear this voice coming from somewhere, and all of a sudden, Don Trax goes, "There you are." Damn it.
All right, I'll put it back. Fine.
You hear Baroche from your pocket going, "How are my kids looking? They looking good. I'm so proud of them."
Baroche, you old dog. You dirty dog.
Yaksha, it is your turn. You see this wall of fire erupt behind you. One of these things like bursts through it, but like incinerates and deflates in front of you. These other two, you can see through this vaguely opaque wall, are still running towards you. You see an alleyway in front of you that leads out to another street. What do you do?
Okay. The first thing I kind of want to do is yell out to number two. Hey, what happens if I don't get this dread corrected?
We've got to get you fixed. This whole place relies on equilibrium. We can't have you and anyone else uncalibrated.
Why?
You hear that explosion earlier?
That was me? I did that?
Apparently.
What?
Ah, that's great. All right, cool. I'm not getting calibrated. okay.
You have no idea how dangerous it is. Just please.
I'll think about it. the globs in front of us.
Yeah.
So they're in a line, right?
Yeah. Two of them now.
And then Natasha. Yeah. And one of them's dead. Natasha is behind them, but like kind of like moved out of the way because she was avoiding them when they.
Yeah, she basically like parkoured out of the way and then they passed.
Okay, cool. So if I cast my breath weapon, it's a straight line. So it's just going to get those fuckers.
I'll say if you want, you can like start moving backwards so that Natasha wouldn't be at the end of that line.
Okay.
I feel like I'm also right at the very front of the alley. I could like step real quick.
You wouldn't know because this wall is opaque.
Okay.
But yeah, you scoot back or you like continue running down the alley, turn around, blast your breath weapon. What's the save? It's a dex save, right?
It's a dex DC 12. Okay. And if you're successful, it's half damage.
Okay. They both have -4 to dex. That's a natural 2. So a -2.
Amazing.
And a natural 20, surprisingly.
What?
Wow.
That bitch.
So one of them, all of a sudden, you see this one, you blast this breath weapon. The first one fully like jumps. It rather than now being a donut hole, it becomes a donut. And your breath weapon goes directly through it.
Oh my God.
I'm just saying on a nat 20, out of nowhere, this one takes no damage from that.
That's fucking
but
guy.
The one behind it is going to take full damage. Go ahead and roll your breath weapon damage.
46, right? And level 11, yeah.
That sounds okay. Right.
That is a 13.
Blast this line, hitting the one in the back for this full 13 damage. It like shrivels a bit as it gets hit. The first one fully dodges it, takes no damage. You still have bonus action and movement. Anything else you want to do?
Does that count as a weapon attack?
That is an action.
Okay. Yeah. I meant just for Hunter's Mark.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, sure. Why not?
Sure. Cool. I'll say the one at the end is the one that Hunter's Mark because I never really specified that.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Cool. And then add an extra 5 points of damage to that.
Okay.
Well, that was much not as cool as I thought it would be. Fucking got donutted.
it's only because you rolled a nat 20. Otherwise, you'd do damage.
Can I try and roll like an acrobatics trick to get to like the top of the roof, but also behind this firewall, so we still kind of go through it?
Yeah, go ahead and roll an acrobatics trick. I'm going to say these aren't buildings that are necessarily built to climb, so it's going to be a DC 16.
That is a 21.
Yeah, you spring off the sides, getting up on top of this building. Yeah, you're up there.
Nice.
What's up, Gilly?
Hey, what's up? Nice, I had this rope, but fuck it. Okay.
And I think that's my turn.
It is Natasha. What's your turn?
Can I do like perception or something to see how fucked up I think the I know one of the orbs has, I think, no damage.
Yeah, one of them has no damage.
But it is about to go through the firewall.
Yeah, you believe it's about to go through the firewall.
And then the other one, how fucked up is it?
It's not on death's door or anything. It's just taken one hit.
Because I really, really want to kill number two, but I feel like protecting Yaksha is the more...
I will say something just for number two. Because Dontrax was able to locate him, you know roughly where he is.
Mm-hmm.
But since he's visible, you'd have disadvantage. Since he is blind, you have advantage. Those cancel out, so it'd be a straight attack.
Uh-huh.
This might be a bad idea, but I think Gilly and I may be able to handle these two things with the firewall's assistance. So if you want to go over and try and fuck up number two, I feel like if we could, like, you know, capture him or something, that'd be pretty dope.
Yeah. I think you know what I think I'm going to do is because I do have two attacks. So I'm going to use my first attack to take a swing at the orb in the back is the one that's injured, right?
Yes.
So I'm going to weaken that guy a little bit more for you guys if I can. So I'm going to double-handed Warhammer that bish. Ooh, that might not do it. does an 11 hit?
Yeah, its AC is 6.
Oh, cool. Okay, cool. So that is 12 points of damage.
Okay.
And then... I'm going to go over to where Dontaraxa is. And I think, again, just swing where I think he is using my Warhammer.
So you do have to walk through this difficult terrain.
Mm-hmm.
He's 30 feet away. Your speed is
40 feet.
So that's halved, so you get 20.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to use your feline agility.
Yes, I'm going to use feline agility to double my speed, which then gets halved. So it's back to 40. So I make it to him.
Okay. So you make it to him. Go ahead and make an attack.
Cool. And this is, as you said, it's just a straight because I got advantage and then disadvantage. Cool. Okay. Does a 12 hit?
12 does not hit.
Natasha is even more furious now. And this is all that she can do because...
Best I'm doing now is I'm giving my my bonus AC to Dontaraxa and to BB.
Because awesome.
They're now within 10 feet of me. And I guess would Sienny now be within 10 feet of me?
No.
Okay. So sorry, no. Sienny.
Well, Sienny's also in an exponential space. Like, you know,
but when he
right
bops
now.
Back out, all is right, he within 10 feet?
All right. No.
Okay. Of this, no. All right. So then that's the end of my turn.
Man, him not being able to see is a real bummer. A lot of his stuff is all about seeing.
That was a clutch move.
Yeah, it really is a bummer.
For you.
However, let me just make sure he doesn't need to see for this spell. As you run up and attempt to hit him, you feel him kind of like just dodge out of the way as he's trying to move out of the way of Dontrax's blows as well. You hear his voice kind of ring out, and he's still frightened of you. He looks at you and goes, please, you don't understand. We gotta get Infinity. We gotta stop him. We gotta calibrate him. Otherwise, who knows what the fuck this is gonna do?
I was like, who's the fuck's
my number
Infinity?
Correctly?
Of course I said your number correctly. I'm number two. I know everybody's number.
I appreciate that. That's so nice.
You're welcome. Now will you please come and get calibrated?
Will you release the prisoner under the bar?
No, of course I won't release the prisoner under the bar.
Then I'm not getting corrected.
You don't know what that person has done, man.
Who is that person?
You're far enough away. Yeah, that's all I'm going to let you do.
This is like just a shouting match.
Natasha is intrigued. Who is this person? Zelda's mad at me because I do not know.
He's the most dangerous person ever to exist as far as I'm concerned. So we need to keep him contained. We also need to stop your friend and anyone else who isn't calibrated. This is a delicate ecosystem, please.
I kind of feel bad.
You need to call off the orbs.
Call your friend back here first.
That's not how this works.
Then I'm afraid this is how this works.
Shit.
you feel an eruption as all of a sudden... blasts forth a cone of cold. I need you to make a constitution saving throw.
God. You betcha.
Don Taraxa will as well.
That's a 16 for me.
Don Taraxa fails.
No.
What about BB?
BB succeeds.
Go for
yeah.
BB.
However, you're about to take 8d8 cold damage.
8d8, that's so much.
27, you made your save, so halved to 13. Don Taraxa takes the full 27.
Shit.
As the cone of cold blasts forward from this like arcane sigil that appears in the air, and Natasha, you kind of dive out of the way of this thing, only get a glancing blow. Don Taraxa, looking forward, gets blasted directly in the face. And as he gets blasted with this cone of icy cold, ice and snow, you see the small buzzing bumblebee around him get blasted and shatter
fuck you
into fey energy.
No!
Don Taraxa turns.
No, Brian, BB! No, you're not.
BB! All right.
I'd like to thank the audience for listening. This is Noah's last episode. Brian fucked around and he found out.
Oh no.
I'm gone.
BB.
But
why?
It was only 13.
BB was fey energy,
he's
though.
That means
he's a B. Oh, she has one hit point.
No.
Natasha, you can roll an investigation, perception check if you want. Or actually, rather, an arcana check.
A 2. Can we make an animal handling?
Yeah, but you got to keep with that 2.
It's a 4. So now I get all the info, right?
No.
BB! Even with... Oh, no, it's just a save, not... And it was an add to AC, not to your health.
Number 2 is going to run away. You do get an attack of opportunity on him, as does Don Taraxa.
Fuck yeah.
Don Taraxa whiffs.
That's okay, because I got a 27.
Jesus. Go ahead. Go ahead and hit.
That's going to be 16.
This guy's looking not good. He doesn't have a lot of hit points. You, as you feel him running away, he gets bashed in the back by your warhammer. He actually has to make a constitution check, a concentration check. Oh, wait. Rolled a 9 plus 0 for constitution is 9. It had to get a 10. He loses concentration on his invisibility spell.
Oh, yeah.
And you see him appear as he runs 30 feet away.
Does he make it 30 because it's difficult terrain?
Sorry, 15 feet. You are correct.
Cool.
It is the tracker's turn. The two trackers are going to through this wall of fire. They think Yaksha's still behind it. Noah, go ahead and roll 6d8 fire damage.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, ho. Gladly. 23.
The one in front takes the hit. Looking okay, the one behind is looking pretty fucked up as they burst through this wall of fire. You see them look around with like these, they have no eyes. They just kind of like regard this area. They're going to roll an investigation check to see if they can find where Yaksha went, because this wall of fire is opaque and tall. So they couldn't see him when he jumped up. -5. So 9 and 0. They look around. They have no idea where you are.
Oh, I'm about to kill him.
I don't even know what they do. I think they just keep moving forward. They're going to kind of like start spreading out and begin looking around. So one of them kind of stays in the alley. One of them moves forward. These things are essentially like mindless drones. So they're not quite sure what to do in this moment. So they're going to hold their actions for if and when you reveal yourself. It is Gilly's turn. Gilly is going to pull out her knives. She looks at Yaksha and kind of gives you like a head nod like, yo, we going?
Oh, yeah. Let's fuck them up. They're done.
Is going to chuck them down. She's going to roll. Wow, she rolled a lot of sixes and fives.
Yeah, she did.
Amazing.
The back one that was fucked up, she tosses two knives into it, and all of a sudden you see this thing and deflate into nothing.
Wait, say something cool, Gilly. Say something cool.
How you like those knives?
God. Damn it, what happened to my list?
I forgot the list.
Oh, no.
No, it's unexpected. It's kind of fun.
He yells from the other dimension.
Oh, and I think that one had Hunter's Mark, and I can, when that target dies, I can move it with a reaction or something.
Yeah. Right?
And I'll move it to the...
To the other one?
Yeah.
It is Don Taraxa's turn. Number two is visible. He lost concentration on his invisibility spell. Don Taraxa looks forward, ready to attack. Don Taraxa is going to charge forward.
Number two, you, in service of number one, imprisoned my master. You will answer for your crimes.
Number two looks at him and goes,
no, you don't understand. Mirren had to be put away. We have no idea what kind of rampant bullshit he was going to do to the material plane. We don't know what kind of things his experiments were doing. I will hear none of your lies. Die, fool. Oh,
and he runs forward and makes three attacks. Actually, you know, this guy's still blind, so he's going to... Oh, wait. So wait. Before I do that, he failed his constitution save. Let me check to see if he breaks the blindness. He does break blindness. Noah, your spell fizzles.
All right.
So Don Trek's going to make three attacks, just straight attacks. First one miss.
Wow, second one misses.
Don's too passionate.
Third
right
one
now.
Misses. He rolled a what? 2, 4, 3.
Oh my God.
He's too devastated by the loss of Bibi.
You.
Damn it, Don Taraxa.
What a fucking bummer.
Oh, maybe have a sunflower kernel of talent, my God. Okay.
You look at him as he gets ready in this perfect fencing stance. You see him turn his head. He goes, Bibi, to.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
Don't.
To me.
And he flies forward, attempts to attack number two, and each time his blade goes slightly to the side. In slow motion, number two is like just able to dodge out of the way.
It's tragic.
Truly tragic. This guy has such great attacks. And two, three, four. Miss. 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 That is, unfortunately, the end of his turn.
Ugh, I miss Bibi.
That is Don Traxa. Sienny, it is your turn.
Are we trying to kill number two? I'm.
That's. I feel like
need.
If we can get info from him, that's my
that's
new
where I'm at.
Plan. Mm-hmm.
You know, Don Traxa is definitely trying to kill him.
I know, but yeah. I think if we can.
Yeah, I think I throw blindness on him again. I liked him being confused.
I liked him blind. I liked him better blind.
I liked,
him being
I liked you better
So blind. I'll do that at fourth level. But yeah, I'll jump out and then cast blindness. I'll get into the thick of it.
Hell yeah, you jump out. Actually, he is going to, as you jump down, he looks over, no longer blind, sees you winding up for the spell. You cast this. He raises up a hand, counterspells it. You see the magic fly towards him and he bats it away and it shatters off into the distance.
No!
damn.
He had to burn a fourth level spell to do it, but he did.
Whoa.
All right. Shit. Damn. That's all I got then. That's all. That was everything. Damn it. This dude sucked.
Yaksha, you are on top of the building. There's that one orb who has now, after Gilly attacked the other one, has now noticed where you guys are.
Cool.
And you see it moving towards the wall as if it is going to climb the wall.
I'm going to go to the other side of the firewall, the one that the orb isn't on, and then kind of like jump to a, like off the roof to like where the alley starts, I guess where Natasha was. If I jump down there, how far am I from number two from that point?
45 feet.
Okay, cool. I'm going to jump down there. So the orb has to take the alleyway again to get me. And then I'm going to take shoot number two with my longbow, but not to kill.
Simply to maim.
Unconscious or something. Yeah, simply to maim.
Okay, go ahead and roll an attack.
That is a 19.
Absolutely hits. Go ahead and roll damage.
Cool. And I don't have my hunter's mark on him. Fuck. 1d8 plus 4. Cool. That is 6 damage.
Just 6?
Yep, I rolled a 2 plus 4, and there's no hunter's mark added to it.
Okay. You hit him. Your arrow slams into one of his legs and pierces through the other side. He all of a sudden like hobbles on the ground. He's looking very hurt.
And I'll take my second attack on him to once again maim. That is, ooh, that's not so good. That's a 12, but I can reroll an attack when I miss.
Yes, you can.
That's a 12 again. What the fuck? That's bullshit.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, you fire these two other arrows, this other arrow, and it flies into the ground and lands right next to him. He looks up, sees you, looks to you, and you still have this dark black energy radiating off of you. He looks up and just goes,
please, you don't understand what you're doing. Just come with me. We can fix this quickly.
Am I going to still have nightmares if I don't fix this?
Are you already having the nightmares?
Yeah.
Yes, you're going to keep having them. They're going to get worse.
Will the drink fix the nightmares?
Yes.
Can I roll a perception check to see if he's lying to me?
Yeah, go ahead and roll a perception check.
Oh, come on. That is an 18.
You don't get the sense that he's lying to you. You do get the sense that he's maybe concealing something. So like what he said was truthful, but there is maybe something he's concealing.
You're hiding something from me, mate. I mean, that's my turn, but Yaksha is very confused. And it's like, we have to just tie him up or something so we can talk to him.
Natasha, it's your turn.
Natasha is also confused. Natasha is going to use her movement, which is halved, is 20. Do I make it to him?
Yeah, you make it to him.
And then I think I just want to grapple him.
Yeah, go ahead and roll a, it'll be a contested athletics check. He has a minus one.
I get advantage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thank God.
Oh, no.
I got nat 20.
Nice.
The first one was a two. No, what 20. The fuck did he roll?
Heck yeah.
He rolled a nat 20. No, no, no.
Yeah, but I get plus four and he gets minus shit.
It's minus shit.
I know, but it's a nat 20.
So we're just locked in perpetuity. So oh, man.
Yeah, this is tough. Tie goes to the runner, but it's not a tie.
I'm going to say...
Oh, my God. I can't believe you both rolled that 20s.
It is truly crazy. I'm going to say for the purpose of this, yeah, you rolled essentially a 24. He rolled a 19. You are able to grapple him.
This is not easy. It puts up more of a fight than I expect.
Puts up a surprising amount of fight.
with a hole through his leg, too.
It's true. Yeah, you'd think I'd really have the upper hand. I'm barely, tis but a scratch for me.
You got to work out more, Natasha.
Basically, I want to try to intimidate him into calling off the orb and letting us interrogate him.
Go ahead and roll an intimidation check.
Okay.
I'm going to say it's going to be a DC 20.
Okay.
It's fair. It's fair.
That would be, think, if I'm doing the math right.
All right.
A 27.
Yeah, all right. Okay. You look at him. What do you say?
Natasha looks at him and says, you will call off this orb and you will answer our questions or there will be more explosions in Factory and you will not be here to see them because you will be dead.
You look at him and he still frightened of you.
Also, I think that did wear off.
It did wear off?
It was, okay. It's frightened of you until the end of your next turn, so it would have worn off on this round.
Okay, but still has that echo in the back of his mind. Looks at you, kind of like feels the gaping wound in his leg.
We can fix this if you give us what we want.
Okay, or take a step back, and he clicks the pocket watch. You see the orb goes, vroom, descends back into the ground. Life in the village restarts. Fabio is like, kind of looks at you guys with a strange look on his face. It is like very strange to see this like weird thing. There's a bunch of carrots. Everyone's like trying to walk around these carrots. Most of the village doesn't seem to pay much attention to this strange scene that is happening.
The fact that number two is outwardly bleeding to death right now.
There is a strange, unbothered atmosphere to most people in the village. Like, they see something strange and they it just kind of like passes over their heads, kind of.
Wild.
Number two looks at you and goes, "All right, we can talk this out. It's fine." You holding on to number two, holding him in place. You all of a sudden see a flash of yellow as Don Taraxa and his blade stab forward to the man you were holding still for him.
Oh.
You see the blade dig in directly into his abdomen. You see number two, a second strike, a third strike, ping. You see the pocket watch fly into the air. Number two, the person falls to the ground unconscious. The pocket watch flies in the air. You see the pocket watch chain all of a sudden moves around, spirals in a circle, almost looking for something, flies down. Directly into Don Taraxa.
Yes!
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
You see Don Taraxa all of a sudden seize up.
Baby!
You see him all of a sudden like spasm a bit, goes around, can't seem to control his motions, and then stands perfectly at attention, his sword. He levels the sword directly at your chin and goes,
"I'm afraid the deal has changed."
Oh,
on guard.
Don
dives forward, and that's where we'll end for the episode.
No! No, Brian! No!
I'm not gonna end it, Brian. You keep going.
You keep going, Brian!
Brian, you keep going.
First you take BB from us, and now this bullshit.
I never trusted that sunflower. I'm just putting that out there. Fuck that
you
guy.
Didn't. Wow.
This pocket watch is fully a demonic presence that just possesses new people.
I think
as number two every time.
I'm killing. Yep. I'm killing Don Taraxa. I'm killing him.
To Abby's point, I don't think he's worth. He's not deserve. It's not him. This is not.
I think we just need
to
do a seance.
We'll do an exorcism.
Yeah, we just need to do an exorcism.
We'll time out. Yeah. We'll do a timeout, which is everyone knows it. All the viewers will see timeouts exist in D&D. Timeouts exist in D&D. We'll do a quick timeout seance.
Yeah. It's like you get an action, a bonus action, a reaction, and a timeout.
And a timeout.
Where you then can do wherever you want.
Oh. And then we all get to have Capri Suns and fruit slices.
And
we get to and rid a sunflower of a demonic spirit that's being encased in a pocket watch.
It's classic D&D right there.
This stressed me out so much, Brian.
Oh my god, what if it was me, though?
Who's the bad guy?
I think Mirren's the bad guy.
I still think it's the robot.
You know, maybe we'll find out next time on Prisoners of the Static.
Maybe we'll find out next time, everybody.
Bye bye.
Two big middle fingers for you, Brian. Two big middle fingers for you.
We're like 10 episodes away from ending this.
Oh my god.
I can't. I love it.
We're never gonna end.
I love being here. I love being here. I hate being here.
Yep. That's accurate.
Hey everybody, this is Brian, your friendly neighborhood dungeon master and the host of Cannon Fodder. If you want to learn even more about the Fractured Realms and also discover brand new playable content, DM tips and tricks, and interviews with interesting people in the TTRPG community, consider checking out the 20-Sided Newsletter. It's a free bi-monthly email newsletter that delivers a ton of cool content and keeps you up to date on all the latest projects within the 20-Sided podcast universe. To subscribe, you can click on the link below in the show notes or go to 20sidedpodcasts.substack.com. Thanks.